Friends, this morning I want to speak on verse 34 that is before us in Mark chapter 6. Verse 34, we read this this verse in Matthew's Gospel chapter 9 as well, a different occasion. But here is a description of our Savior, His thoughts. If you want to know the feelings of the Lord Jesus Christ, what He thinks of sinners, and how does He see a world like ours? It is this. And Jesus, when He came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion toward them because they were as sheep, not having a shepherd. And He began to teach them many things. Here are these people, a large number of people who have come after Him. They won't let Him alone. He wanted to be somewhere that was without people. He called His disciples to go and rest with Him. And remember, this is not a desert, as it were, just a place full of sand. We might have that kind of a concept in our mind. But it says that these people were to be sat, at least 5,000 people, most likely about 10 to 15,000. There were women and children too. They were to sit on, it says, green grass. Now, you need a lot of grass to fit all these people on and for them to sit. And so it is not, and when it says a desert place, it means a deserted place. That's what it means. It means it was a place that nobody was about. They went somewhere that they could get some peace and quiet. That's what it means. And yet these people come. They seek Him. They want to know. They want to find out. Who is this? What is He saying? Sadly, many of these people later on would leave Him. They won't want to have anything to do with Him. His message, you see, isn't a popular message, neither in our day. But here, my friends, we have lessons about God's compassion, Christ's compassion, on the unbelieving, skeptic world. And that's what I want us to think about. Because these people were there, not because they necessarily believed on Him, trusted in Him fully, no. They're filled with complaints, filled with criticisms, and they came to get what they could. But here the Lord addresses them, and His heart goes out to them, because He sees in them sheep having no shepherd. These people are lost, that's what the Lord sees. But these are people who need the Lord. And there, in the time that we have, I want to speak briefly on five things. First of all, we see here the false thinking of the lost people. Second thing that I want us to see is that the reasons for being lost that the Bible speaks of. Thirdly, I want us to think about that unbelief gives us certain things. Fourthly, I want us to think about the unbelief takes away certain things from us. And then fifthly, that the Lord Jesus Christ is full of compassion on lost unbelievers. That's what we want to think about. These people who were there, they come after Him, they're intrigued. But they don't necessarily believe on Him. It's only the disciples, even amongst the disciples. There is one Judas who comes. He sees all of these things. He has all of these experiences. But ultimately, unbelieving. What people think is so important. And it's not always very pleasant for us to be prodded about our own personal lives and personal thinking that takes place. And so this morning, I believe it would be unpleasant for some. We are here this morning, like you go to your GP, and your GP says, okay, pull up your shirt. And then he prods you, and he says, is it painful here? And he says, no. Presses a little harder. And all sorts of other things that happens, and it's not pleasant. But I trust that the Word of God and the truths of it, the principles of it, will be prodding you to find in you the problem is here, or the problem is there. And yet, ultimately, to know Christ is the one who knows and who has compassion. And ultimately, what did this Savior do? to deal with these problems, which is called sin in the Bible. He came and He shed His blood. He came to pay for us. We owed a great debt to God, which we could not pay. And He came not owing anything. And He paid that debt fully on our behalf. And He paid that by His own death on the cross. That is the sacrifice that you and I could never pay. And so no amount of fasting will help us. No amount of keeping certain rules and regulations will save us. But what Jesus Christ has done. So let's look at these things. First of all, the false thinking of the lost people. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ refers to these people who were around Him as sheep. Now that's very, it could be seen as a very humiliating expression. Why does God refer to us as sheep? And He says, these people are as sheep without having any kind of shepherd. They don't have any overseer. They don't have anyone to protect them. They're just wandering about. And would you think of a sheep as being very clever? Do you think much goes on in the minds of a sheep and much thinking processes take place other than here is grass, I can eat it, or here is somewhere I can go through, and so on. And so you find sheep getting stuck in all kinds of places and they don't know how to get out of it. So that's why they need a shepherd. They need someone to look after. And wherever you go, maybe in this country we don't have shepherds as such, but they go out. The farmer goes out on a daily basis and he goes on his truck or whatever he has, his vehicle. He looks around at least once a day to make sure the sheep are all right. But here the Lord says these people are like wandering about. And sheep don't stick with each other. They scatter. They have no protection. They have no guard. And if a sheep is left on its own, to its own devices, without being watched regularly, will eventually perish. So when there is a shepherd, the sheep are taken to the right and sound pastures, and they feed the right kind of things. They are kept from any harm or danger. The sheep is, or the shepherd is wiser than the sheep. And the Lord Jesus Christ refers to Himself as the good shepherd who laid His life down for the sheep. He cares for the sheep. He is that almighty shepherd. And this is a shepherd who is not hired, is not an hireling, is not one who is paid to look after the sheep. No. He's the good shepherd who gives His life for the sheep, the Bible says. And this good shepherd, He was moved with compassion toward them because they were a sheep not having a shepherd. What does He see? What does the Lord Jesus Christ see? He sees this large number of people who are drifting from this to that. It's very it is very up to date what we are thinking about this morning. A world of people scattered with all kinds of thoughts, with all kinds of lives. And here is a picture of unbelief. These people were not necessarily believing on Him. They are, for a season, they would go after this person, they would go after that person, they would maybe believe is what the Pharisees would say, and then they would switch and say, well, what about the Sadducees? And what about this religious leader? What about that? They haven't any kind of conviction about things. And they're a picture of a lost, they're lost spiritually. They are a picture of not knowing, having a knowledge of God. And they're going from this to that in their life. Not having a shepherd. That's what it means when it says not having a shepherd. They don't know the shepherd. They don't have a shepherd. They don't have a God that they truly trust in. And this is how the Lord Jesus Christ sees. This is all that there is. That's what they think. This is all that there is. That's what the sheep thinks. It's all I've got to do is to eat my grass or the food that is put before me. And not much else I have to do. And so many people in the world, maybe some here, all you might see or all we might see is material things that there is in this world. That's it. All I have is this life. And that's it. And as many people think, there is nothing beyond our physical or chemical part of our being or this world. Or they say, well, I don't really know. I'm agnostic about it. I really have no idea. I don't want to say I hold to anything. And the thing that people say oftentimes is that the wisest thing is that we know nothing. I don't know anything about anything. That's all I know. And that is a popular saying. That is nothing new. It's been said over the history of the world. Various philosophers have said these kinds of things, which, again, it doesn't help anybody. It doesn't give any answers. But this is what people say. This is all that I see around me. And this is what they came and they saw the deserted place. They saw the food. They saw the green grass. They saw what Jesus Christ was doing. And all of these things, it's all what they saw. But what about the spiritual side of things? Did they see Jesus Christ? Some did. Some did. And they trusted. They went beyond just looking at the outward. They saw Jesus Christ is the Savior. He's the Messiah. And if we are honest, friends, we can look at many of these people's lives and our own lives and see that these people didn't really trust in Jesus Christ or God or the Bible. And yet they were amongst these things. They were living with access to the Word of God, with access to Jesus Christ. They didn't really trust. And we ought to be honest with ourselves this morning. Well, why are these things? Because without wanting to admit to it, when we think about all I want to do is to help somebody and those kinds of things, oftentimes people who don't believe in God or believe in Christian values, they borrow from those values. And the question is, why do people think the way they think? If there is no God, if there is nothing after this world, why do people think we should do good? Why should we care for the elderly, care for the sick? Why? If it's the survival of the fittest, we're just going through the process. That's all it is. And when we think about unbelief, and here are people without any shepherd, these are wandering people not believing anything. When we think about these things, about unbelief, and we think about the rejection of the gospel, the gospel is the good news of Jesus Christ. We are talking about the philosophy. We are talking about the thinking behind this unbelief in God or the Bible and its message of salvation. It's the belief system of unbelief or atheism that proposes to give the answer to our modern society and say that we don't need God and that we can do away with the Bible. We can be good without God. That's the saying. Now, we know in our day, there are various proponents and leaders of these ideas of unbelief and atheism. They say, actually, it is good for people to be scattered. It's good for people not to have any kind of beliefs. And we find that the media has a love and hate relationship with such leaders. You see it. Most of the time they promote their unbelief, and the media is generally very unbelieving, skeptical media to the Bible and the Word of God and Christianity. But then these individuals who lead, they come out with some horrific and wicked things that then they are shouted down. I remember listening to Richard Dawkins, who is now 80 this year, and he had said in September of 2013 in Time magazine that he believed that mild pedophilia, there's nothing wrong with that in his own mind. And he said he experienced it in the 1950s, and he said it didn't do him any harm or the other children at school, that kind of a thing. Now, the media was outraged at such a thing. Of course they should. But you see, these are the leaders. These are people who are teaching, and their teaching goes throughout the nations, and their books are read. And these leaders and skeptics and unbelievers are, they go and attack churches and various standards of morality in the West that comes from biblical teaching. And so they would say some outrageous things, but then they're criticized for a little while, and then the rest of the time they're forgotten. Those horrific things are forgotten, and people carry on believing in what they are saying. But think about this, friends. And the same goes among scientists. So it's not just the media, but among scientists and historians and philosophers too. You find sometimes people say, and you talk to individuals, and they would say to you, well, you know, there is problem with religion. The cause of the wars, all of the wars in the world are mainly due to religion, they would say. So if we had less religion, we would have less wars. But again, people don't want to stick with the facts. You ever heard that? I've heard that many times. The problem with the world is religion. The wars are from religion. But you look it up. If you go online, you look up the Encyclopedia of War. And so we want to deal with facts, not with hearsays. And in the Encyclopedia of Wars, it says that until 2004, all the recorded instances of wars that have been collated, less than 7% was initiated because of religious beliefs. Less than 7%, 6.9% of wars were caused by religion. And so historians will come out and outrage when somebody comes and says a statement like that. And they would say, point to the First and the Second World War. Were they motivated by religion? The Korean War, the Vietnam Wars, and so on. But people still go on making these kinds of statements. I'm just saying that what's the mentality behind the unbeliever? How he thinks? Rather than dealing with facts, they deal with feelings. They will deal with hearsays. So they say there's no evidence for God. But you begin to think about things. Look at some examples as well of the evidence of God. I've thought about people who are as sheep without a shepherd, not believing things. But then you think about the things that they don't believe, the evidences that they don't look to. Think about yourself. And you and I, we are such complex creatures. You are made up not only of your physical being, not only of cells and all the intricate systems in your body, but also you think about things. Your thought processes, your feelings, your emotions, and everything about you. You have a soul. Is it all pure chance? Is it all purely accidental? You have an instinct of God, for God. And everything in the world, when someone conducts a survey, the overwhelming majority of people have some belief in a God, some supernatural being. Even though they may not know God or take much interest to pursue Him and live for Him, yet they believe that God exists. Yes, they are scattered, they are sheep without shepherd. But there is a sense of, there is a maker here. And so there's this natural belief in God and eternity. And so that's why we feel, we sorrow over the death of a loved one. That's why we gather with someone and we promise them various things. Or we try to encourage them. If there is nothing after death, our attitude would be different. But naturally, we don't feel that way. Where did this thinking come from? Where did this belief come from? Where does this instinct for God come from? And so these are all powerful evidences that if God exists, then His creatures would have some belief or knowledge or some awareness and desire for Him. Yes, they may be scattered. They may be unbelieving. But in their heart of heart, these are their thoughts. They have a conscience. They have some understanding of this is wrong, this is right. And this is a law that God has placed on our hearts. There's a difference between mankind and the rest of the creatures. And you think about it. Animals never have a court of law. They don't take each other to court, or they don't demand each other of right and wrong and things of that nature. So we could go on giving more evidence of these things, but here were people who had come to benefit from the Lord Jesus Christ, and yet they really were not following him. He wasn't their shepherd. They weren't claiming him to be their shepherd. They listened to some things, they believed in some things, but really they didn't fully follow him. They were lost. That's how the Lord Jesus Christ saw them. If we were there, we might have thought, well, they must be Christians, they must be followers, they must be disciples, because they are there. And if they were not there, if they are there, then it must be that they are believers. But Jesus Christ saw beyond all of that. He saw them as sheep, having no shepherd, and he had compassion on them. Think on that. Can you see yourself in any of these things? But then look at something else. The Lord Jesus speaks about these having no shepherd, being scattered. And it's a picture of being lost, spiritually speaking, in this world, in this life. And the second thing I want to say is this, the reason for being lost. Why is it that a person is lost? And what does the Bible teach us about these things? And the thing that is so needful for us, for the lost world and lost people to know, is that the reason people are lost is because mankind has fallen in sin. Sin has affected all of us. We don't have to teach our children any bad things because they already do those things. And it shows that they're just like us. And we keep having to correct ourselves. How many times I've had to say sorry to somebody in the last week? And that's the reason. Because we've all fallen into sin. And again, that's not a very palatable thing. Because we would think of ourselves as being born as innocent beings. But we are estranged from God. The Bible says we have been alienated from him. We are living contrary to God's holy standards. And so you look at any of the commandments and you work through it. Have you loved God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength? Have we always obeyed our parents? Who hasn't broken their mother's heart? Who hasn't? And you think about these standards. Have we kept them? Well, no. That is all sin, showing that there is something wrong with all of us. And yet, throughout the scriptures, it's teaching us there is one who is coming. There is one who is coming who will change the hearts, who will pay the price of our sin debt. And 2,000 years ago, the Lord Jesus Christ was sent by God the Father, and he came into the world to make an atonement, to pay the price of our sins, to bear the punishment of our sins, and make these sinners right with God, to make us right with God. But for many unbelievers, they would say, no, we don't like this kind of an idea. You can't say man is depraved. He's not depraved. We just give him this right kind of environment, then we will flourish. Well, is that the case? Is that the case? Really? Do you see that in countries that are so educated? We have had so many laws and regulations. We would say we are civilized. Are we really doing well, morally speaking? What are the headlines this morning? Well, yesterday morning. What were the headlines? Were they positive things that are happening in the country? Good things? Right things? But no, we don't see that. We see various things in our conduct. And we can see it in other people's conduct much easier. We are good at judging everybody except ourselves. And the Lord Jesus Christ spoke of. But we see that. And in our minds, we make a judgment. This right is this wrong. But it is easy for us. You see, we are living in a culture and in an environment that we can push ourselves so much out that all we have is ourselves, and we are not too tough on ourselves. But we can push ourselves. We sit behind our desk, and with a click of the button, we buy our stuff from Amazon. We don't have to go into the town, or we don't have to pass through into certain streets that we don't like those kinds of people in that area. Or we are looking for houses. We won't want to live in such and such a place. And we don't even go in those places. We don't see the needs that are there. We don't see that how much there is need and how much there is sin and how much trouble there is in people's lives. We can push ourselves out into and live in areas where it's all happy and nice, very few people about. So those are the things that we can do to try to cover. And I'm not saying this is what the people's intentions are. Our intentions are. But it easily can cover our sense of reality. What there is happening in this world. And these people, there was no difference between us and them. We can harshly judge people in the past and say that they couldn't understand. They were not intelligent enough. They didn't know enough. And yet we find the same kind of issues with us now. But here are these people thinking like that. The Lord calls them that they're shepherdless. They're wandering about, bumping into this and that. And even in this past year, in 2020, it's proved, hasn't it, that how we are out of control. We think we are in control of our lives, and we are not. We are just controlled by all the circumstances around us. Of course, the Bible says that we are not in control. We must give ourselves into the hand of the Lord. We are all in need of a Savior. And that's what the Lord Jesus Christ saw. And this is the thing. To such people, the Lord Jesus Christ, His heart went out to them. His heart went out to them. It was for such people that the Lord Jesus Christ came to die for. And so I'm saying these things, and it might sound very negative to you. But there are realities that you ought to be thinking about. We are not saying we have to fix our lives and we have to clean out our sins. But we are saying that you must go to Jesus Christ. Lay all of these things before Him. Surrender your life to Him. But let me say that unbelief, as it happened in their life, it can give people certain things. That's the third thing. Unbelief gives us certain things. People might say, well, what do you get from unbelief? Well, there are some we might think there are positive things that come out of it. There are certain things in favor of unbelief. There are certain advantages. People might think that not trusting in the Lord and not following the Scriptures and not bowing to Jesus Christ will give us. It gives us a sense of freedom. That's one of the things. It gives us a sense of freedom. Free from morals, free from standards. Really, where do we get our morals from? Where do we get our standards from? Is it culture that gives us our standards? Because it's constantly changing. What people deem to be wrong now, it could have been right 20 years ago. So where it's always fluctuating, your morality. But that not believing in anything gives you that freedom. You can keep changing. You're like a chameleon. We can become like that. Just changing according to the color around us. Many people see that as being advantageous. The standards of behavior, you can be free from that. If there is no God, there is no judgment day, no standards. And so on. So I can go on with being proud. I can go on with thinking highly about myself. I can go on with pleasing myself. And I can go on with showing off. I can go on with fulfilling my own desires. And not having any thought about any day of judgment. No, nothing about I'm accountable to God. So that gives me that freedom. But are we better off for it? It makes us really, truly blessed and happy. Another thing that unbelief can give us is freedom from self-control. Freedom from self-control. Enjoy your life. No need to restrain my lust and desires. I just give in to all kinds of feelings that I have. Well, if it feels right, then do it. And that the adverts that we might see from time to time. If it feels right, do it. That is what it provides for you. Now, don't we say to our teenagers, say, well, if it feels right, then most likely you shouldn't do it. But if there is no moral standards, and if you don't go back to the Bible, if it's just the culture, then it's all very unstable. And that's what atheism provides. And so what do we find in a society like that? People are free in their mind to murder each other. Life becomes very cheap. The life of an older person becomes very cheap. So euthanasia becomes a matter, and people concerned. Abortion becomes an issue as well in that kind of a culture. Stealing and abusing, all of that kind of a thing. Because it's all very relative. It all depends on your culture, you see. And you see, morality is oftentimes is borrowed from biblical Christian worldview. But it doesn't come from the survival of the fittest mentality, the evolutionary process, because that goes against that. It is what is good for you, how you can function and do best in the world, then you should look after number one. That is what that worldview would bring, which is what we are seeing all around us. But another thing is that you can have what you want, and as much as you want, as you please. And that's another thing that you have. But then what do you lose? Unbelief, you see, the fourth thing is unbelief takes away certain things from you. What do people lose out? Here are lost people, here are scattered people. They are without direction, you see, that's what they lose. They have no guide. All they have is now. That's why in an unbelieving world, there's so much fear. They're controlled by, well, there is an illness, there's a war, there is whatever you may call it. And you say, oh, I'm fearful of that. I don't know what to do about this matter. There's no direction. They're all over the place. And this is what the Lord Jesus Christ was saying. These are people who are going through life, and no one has shown them any compassion to become their savior, their guardian, or real or lasting friend. That's what it means, having no shepherd. And this is what unbelief brings. Not much sense or feeling, or even sense of guilt. There are people who have become so hardened and so cold. They're worn down, so broken by sin around them. And you talk to them. And this is why I think it would do us good to just walk on the street. Talk to people. You just talk to people. You see what reality people are facing. And see that how life has broken them down. How sin has made them to be without much feeling towards others. And they don't even notice it. They don't even notice that this is the issue. You know, a couple of nights ago, just to try to think about something else, Becky and I we watched a program called Hoarders. I don't necessarily recommend it, but it was about people who hoard things. Who hoards things here, I wonder? But it's about people who just like to get stuff and fill their homes, and they can't live in it. And one couple, they have filled their house so much that they had to move out and rent another apartment because they couldn't live in their own house. It was filled with stuff, and they had to get rid of it. But the amazing thing was this. This is what I wanted to talk to you about, is the denial. Denial that there is a problem. They are so used to it. This woman said, well, I just went past this thing so often. I didn't know I had it. I didn't know that there was a problem. I don't think I'm a hoarder. So this woman would come to, who specializes with dealing with people like that, and said, look, you've got these problems. You've got a house full of rubbish, and there is so much stuff and health hazards and things like that, and your children are going to be taken away from you. Well, I'm not a hoarder. I need these things, and so on. And I thought, how that shows that it's a picture of our own heart, my own heart, and become so oblivious to what's happening. What unbelief does to us, we get used to things, and we lose our senses and feelings and sense of guilt. And And so much of the character is lost in people as well. And so what happens? We put on a show. We put on a show. We just make sure that we look well in front of people in this world. We have our smiles, and we nod at the right times. We laugh at the right time, and those kinds of things. And it can become very insincere. And that's what happens. But also, what we lose at, we ultimately, of course, we lose our soul. Unbelief says, I don't have a soul. So obviously, those people who feed their soul the right spiritual, and they won't feed their souls on the right spiritual food, they're not interested in it. They're virtually dead. The Bible says they're spiritually dead. And they become oblivious to this problem as well, that they're not really thinking about the Lord. They're not thinking about the future. But also they lose the capacity to pray. Do you pray? Do you pray only when trouble comes? Do you really commune with God and worship Him privately, seek Him, glorify Him, thank Him for His grace, thank Him for each day, thank Him for the food and clothing and all the blessings that you have? Do you thank Him for His salvation? Do you thank Him for Jesus Christ, for the Bible? But see, when we are unbelieving, when we are going after the things of this world, we lose that too. People who don't believe in anything, why should they pray? But and yet you find atheists praying when the exam time comes. Why? They don't believe in anything. The greatest faculty that all people have is the potential to communicate with God. But unbelief bars the door of it. Unbelief loses it. And at best, it's superficial. It's just saying some prayers. They would write down or read out a certain kind of prayers. Is that the way with us? If we are unbelievers about God and Christ and the message of salvation that the Bible gives us, where is the source? Where is the source that explains and reveals to us God and reveals to us who Christ is and how to know Him? But the unbeliever has lost all of that, doesn't have that, is forfeited the eternal destiny with God. There is no guidance in life, just bumping about who says what, and they think, well, if this person says it, then it must be right, and then after 5 years they would change their view on that. They are shepherdless, the Lord says. These are scattered, they're unbelievers. No relation to Jesus Christ. And yet, with this I finish, He loved them. He showed compassion to them. He had feelings towards them. He wasn't cold towards them. He sat them down. He fed them. He fed them to the full. He loved them. That's what He did. Oh yes, He was honest with them, as I'm seeking to be honest with you, as I'm being blunt with you. He spoke to them bluntly. And you read the Gospels and you find yourself, at times you say, why did He say it like this? Why did He say it like that? Well, He was being very honest. Are we honest with ourselves too? And He loved them. And He saw that these people have no peace. They have no peace with My Father in heaven. They are living in sin. And you see, unbelief brings no peace to us. There is nothing of God in life. And so he showed compassion on them. These were people thinking in a box, not outside of the box. They were limited in their thinking. All they had was this world that they were thinking. But the Lord Jesus Christ began to teach them. And it says there, and He began to teach them many things. Started speaking. And these are people who need a shepherd. These are the people who don't have anyone who loves them. These are people who don't have any guide in their lives. These are people who don't believe Me. These are people who reject Me. These are people who are following their own feelings and thoughts. They have no relationship with My Father in heaven. They have no friends. I would show compassion on them. Is there any compassion in unbelief? Is there any compassion with our atheistic or unbelieving friends who laugh at the Bible and laugh at the way of salvation. No, there is not much compassion. We can't get help when I am on my deathbed. Who will help? Who will encourage me? When I am on my deathbed, when I hear someone says, I care for you, it will all be all right. How would I feel in that situation? When someone says, there's a Savior, Jesus Christ. There's a heaven to be had. There is one who died for my sins on the cross. There is a God who loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And if you were to believe in him, you will not perish but have everlasting life. That is the thing that encourages my soul. Not to simply be listening to to hopeless messages. My friends, leave this unbelief. If that's what I've been describing describes you, leave it. Don't be like these people who were so many of them and think, well, all of us believe like this. Not many people are following Jesus Christ. There's only 12 of them. And look at one of them. What did he turn out like? And so you might say, well, everybody believes this way that I am going. But here was the Lord Jesus Christ showing compassion on these people. And you might be young. You might think now that you don't need God. When your father or mother prays, or when the minister prays, you are not maybe interested. You are looking around, smiling, or being distracted. Maybe you are not listening, not praying for your own soul. You think that, oh, I don't really need God right now. I've got my friends, I've got my work to do, and those kinds of things. But you know, all of these things will fade. We become older. When you are in your 40s and 50s, you begin to think, I know of more and more people who are passing away, who are dying. What about myself? What about my own soul? What will you do then? How will you think then? You see, without God, there is no hope. Without the Lord Jesus Christ, there is no real hope. And all of us will have to one day face him. We have to face him. We have to go before him, stand before him. And if we are without Christ, we will be condemned. We will experience God's wrath. And all of life, potentially it is wasted. And your soul withers and decays and perishes. But here is compassion of the Savior. He had so much compassion, he had so much love, that he would come and he would deal with people like that, teach them, being patient with them, ultimately giving his life for sinners like them. Do you know him? Has he spoken to you this morning, saying that, Lord, you've shown me that I've been wandering about, shepherdless. I am someone who has not been really thinking about these things deeply. I've thought about all sorts of other things. I've been distracted with other things. But I have not really been concentrating fully on the things that eternally matters to me. We are not told what happened to these 5,000 or so. Well, we don't know. They might have walked away unconverted for all that we know. But there is a definite hope and promise here. You're coming to a compassionate Savior. Don't walk away from Jesus Christ. He died on the cross at Calvary to give himself for sinners. Instead of them, Jesus Christ died. Let faith in him arise. And you grasp hold of him and plead for his forgiveness. Forsake what is stopping you following the Lord and commit your soul to him. Don't steal your soul. Don't let unbelief steal all of these things from you. Don't destroy your soul. Turn to the Savior who is full of compassion even now. Jesus was moved with compassion toward them. May he move with compassion toward us now, but in salvation. Let us